Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Today the Christian Church remembers Saint Bartholomew, Apostle of our Lord, though you probably noticed that the name Bartholomew does not appear in our scripture lessons. Instead, we read about Nathanael. Nathanael is most likely his given name, his first name. Bartholomew is akin to a last name. It means son of Tolmai. This Bartholomew, or Nathanael, as we find him in the Gospel of John, is not very well known. We don't learn much about him from the Gospels, other than he is numbered among the 12. John tells us a little bit more. John tells us that he was from Cana in Galilee, where our Lord Jesus changed water into wine at a wedding, and he was one of those 7 disciples who went fishing following our Lord's resurrection. And then we have our Gospel lesson for this morning. The longest reference we have to Saint Nathanael or Bartholomew. The account of his calling through Philip, another apostle of our Lord Jesus. In today's gospel, we hear how Philip, who himself was found by Jesus, went and found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." With his enthusiasm for having met that Savior, that Messiah, the one who was promised by God in his word, beginning way back in the Garden of Eden, we can almost forgive Philip getting it a little backwards, who said, "We have found him," when in fact it was he who found them. Nevertheless, Philip confesses that Jesus is the one long awaited, the one long foretold. Nathanael, however, is skeptical at best. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so the ways of God are often met with skepticism on the part of humanity. That the Son of God and Savior of the world should be a humble, meek, mild man, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Mary and Joseph, as was supposed. That the redemption of the world should take place not through some glorious act of divine might, but rather through suffering and death upon a cross. That the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, should come to us, not through signs and wonders that dazzle the eye, but rather through humble words spoken and read on a page, through plain water poured over a child's head, through bread, through wine. That lowly, poor sinners who daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment should be declared sons of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven, beloved children in the sight of God. These things do not make much human sense, no. But as we heard the Holy Spirit declare through the Apostle Paul, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. As Paul writes elsewhere, God's power is made perfect in weakness. God brings good out of what is lowly and despised and neglected, even rejected among men. As Mary, the mother of our Lord, sang, he fills the lowly with good things. And so, like Philip's response to Nathanael, let us also come and see. Let us come and see what good God does through what is weak and lowly, indeed what he does through jars of clay. Nathanael asked, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Not an unreasonable question. Nazareth was a little-known town, sort of unassuming, in a rather unassuming part of the Roman Empire. Nazareth didn't even have Old Testament credentials behind it. It's not like Jerusalem or Bethlehem or the other places that are mentioned in the prophets and in Moses. How could anything good come from this town in Galilee, Nazareth? And yet we know Not only did something good come from Nazareth, he who alone is good, the only good God, came from Nazareth, Jesus, son of Joseph, as was supposed, the very Son of God. He was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, yes, as the prophets foretold. Nevertheless, according to God's perfect will, he was raised in Nazareth. In him, in the man Jesus, dwelt the fullness of the deity bodily. Yet he, the incarnate Son of God, true God and true man, inseparably, indivisibly united in one person, did not appear on earth in all divine glory and majesty. Rather, he came as a child in the womb of his mother, born and laid in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. He came in the form of a servant, even born in the likeness of sinful flesh. And yet, he who is good came from Nazareth, the only good God, he who went about Judea and Galilee doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God to all. Truly something good came from Nazareth, Jesus our Lord. And yet we know as he went about doing good, he made many enemies for himself, Pharisees and the Sadducees, the chief priests and the scribes, even the Romans, who falsely accused him, who arrested him, who sentenced him to die on the cross. You might ask, can anything good come out of a cross, and of crucifixion? Crucifixion, you may remember, was about the worst possible way to die, and was a death reserved for the most horrendous of criminals, a death that not only served to punish the offender, but also served to warn all who would cross Rome. Can anything good come from such a scandalous death? Yes, for the cross is the power of God. It is salvation for the world. By the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, there is forgiveness of sins. There is atonement made for all our transgressions. And again, not for ours alone, but for the sins of the whole world. Christ Jesus, though, did not make that evident to the eye. He was wounded, he was despised, as was prophesied, a worm and not a man, even being hanged between two criminals. People laughed at him, mocked at him, wagged their heads at him as they passed by him. They derided him. Can anything good come from that? Indeed, it did the highest good. Our salvation, our redemption, our atonement. It's for this reason that we call the day that Jesus died Good Friday. And of course, our Lord Jesus did not remain in death. Having been crucified for our transgressions, he was raised for our justification. On the third day, Easter Sunday, Christ rose again from the grave triumphant, never to die again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And therefore, we can be certain that great good came from his crucifixion. But as the cross is where Christ Jesus our Lord won forgiveness, life, and salvation for all mankind, he in his perfect wisdom has willed to deliver that forgiveness, life, and salvation through the means of grace. And what are these means of grace? The word, water, bread, and wine. Simple, plain, earthly elements. And so again, we might wonder, can anything good come from such plain, simple, earthly things? Can anything good come from words that were written 2,000 years ago? Words that were preached by a man standing before you in strange clothing? Can anything good come from water that was poured over a child's head, along with a few words that were spoken? Can anything good come from eating just a bit of bread, drinking a sip of wine? Yes, indeed. Good comes to you when you hear and receive these things in faith. when you believe they are exactly what Jesus says they are. For through these means, God works forgiveness, life, and salvation to all who believe, as his very words and promises declare. He sent the apostles, just like Bartholomew, to go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Yes, these men were mortal. They were sinful. Even following our Lord's death, resurrection, and ascension, they fell. They stumbled. Nevertheless, they themselves were forgiven, redeemed, and went forth in faith to preach the gospel. They would die in weakness and lowliness. As you may recall, tradition has it that Bartholomew was skinned alive. Nevertheless, they preached an eternal gospel to the whole creation, the gospel of the free and full forgiveness of sins, the gospel of eternal life to all who would believe it. And they themselves received that which they preached and that which they believe. Eternal life with the Lord Jesus in heaven. For Bartholomew, and the apostles, and those who have believed their testimony rejoice. Our Lord Jesus sent the apostles to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations by baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This baptism is not dazzling to the eyes of men. A person, a child, even an infant, as we just saw a child a little bit ago, bows his head over this stone font. There's water poured on his hair. A few words are spoken. Dries himself off and then goes back to his seat, not much cleaner. Maybe he didn't even get cleaner at all. And yet through this simple act of water and the word, he, Andrew, and all of you who have been baptized into Christ have received forgiveness of your sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation, just as Jesus himself has promised to you. In the sacrament of the altar, in a little bit, you'll come forward. You will kneel here at this rail. It will be handed, maybe in your hand, maybe on your tongue, a little round piece of bread. After eating that, you will receive, whether in a little individual cup or by taking a shared common cup, a chalice, a sip of wine. Not very exciting in the eyes of the world. And yet, Christ Jesus declares that he indeed comes to you through these means. He actually gives you, in, with, and under that simple bit of bread, his very body that bore the punishment of your sin. He declares to you that in that little sip of wine, you have his very blood that he shed and offered to God the Father for the atonement of your transgressions. Through these means, Jesus forgives all your sins. He strengthens you in faith toward him and love for one another. He creates in you new and clean hearts. Can anything good come from words, water, bread, and wine? Yes, good for you. Great good for you. For through these, you are forgiven. That leads us to wonder, perhaps, can anything good come out of us, out of you? You just confessed that you were a poor, miserable sinner not that long ago. Though you are daily and richly forgiven all your trespasses, still you also daily sin much. You still have a sinful nature, the old Adam, who would daily tempt you, along with the devil and the world, into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. You still feel beset by sin and weakness. You still feel the harshest temptations to commit the worst offenses. Can anything good come from you? Yes, for you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. In the verse before our epistle lesson begins, Paul writes, "It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul refers back to the creation when God spoke, and so it happened. Let there be light, and there was light. God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness. Through that same almighty word, God has shown in your hearts and created in you, in your hearts, faith in Jesus Christ, trust in him. And this then, this is the treasure of which Paul writes when our epistle lesson begins. Faith born of the gospel. carried in jars of clay. That's you and me. These jars of clay, clay pots, they don't have much value in and of themselves, nor are they able to fill themselves. But when they are filled, they are of great worth to the one who fills it. And so, as you have been created by God, as He shines in your hearts through the gospel of Jesus Christ, He esteems you and loves you and gives to you great worth. In His eyes, you are beloved children and heirs of His kingdom. He declares you by grace alone to be righteous in His sight, holy, without blemish or spot or wrinkle or any stain, even as Jesus said to Nathanael, without deceit. And so the Psalms testify, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Just like the Lord Jesus, who is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. As new creations in Christ Jesus, we also are to put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And we are given mouths to declare Him, mouths to sing His praise, mouths to confess Him, just as Nathanael did, to be the Son of God, the King of Israel, our Lord and Savior. Indeed, though we are but clay pots, jars of clay, God has prepared good works for us that we might walk in them, and He strengthens us to endure every trial and tribulation that comes our way. Having possessed this treasure, we are afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, yet not crushed, not driven to despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. Can anything good come from us? Yes, though not by our own efforts or works, but purely because God has worked in us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He Himself has given us this great treasure, and therefore we have confidence that in Him we will see even greater things. The heavens opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Yes, indeed, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Can anything good come out of jars of clay? Yes. Again, not that there's anything innately valuable about such jars, but when they are filled, passive tense, with treasure, then they are of great worth. In and of themselves, there's nothing valuable about the town of Nazareth, a cross, words, bread, wine, water, you and me. But when the Word of God is combined with such things, the Word made flesh, the Word who made atonement for our transgressions, the Word of God, the Word of the Gospel, the Word of promise, then indeed through such humble things, the greatest good comes forth. Life and peace, favor and success, straight paths, healing and refreshment it brings. For truly, while we are weak, God is strong. And so it is the power of God that does all things well. And thus we boast in our weakness. We boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We boast in Him who is the Son of God, the King of Israel. We rejoice, we give thanks that He has come and He has redeemed us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.